This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Number one at the box office this weekend was Christopher Nolan's World War II film Dunkirk. Perhaps you've seen it. Number two was The Emoji Movie, a movie about those little pictures you use when you're texting and billboards for which, at least the one I pass on my way to work, says meat poop. Yet another in a developing trend of Hollywood making ever more movies on sometimes thin pre-existing ideas, intellectual property is what that's called. Alex French had a story in the New York Times Magazine this weekend called How to Make a Movie Out of Anything, Even a Mindless Phone Game. Alex, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
When did this whole intellectual property thing start in Hollywood?
You know, it's hard to say. Hollywood has always been, you know, adapting novels or comic books for movies. They've been doing that for a long time. The trend of taking something that lacks a narrative or lacks characters has been a little bit around a little bit longer than you would think. You know, sort of the first example I could think of was the Clue movie, which came out, you know, I think around the mid-1980s. Oh, yeah. But even that movie had characters and sort of like a baseline of narrative. After that, there's not much in this category until I think it's around 2007 when Battleship pops up. In this genre, you know, for a number of reasons, I think Battleship is sort of kind of a demonstrative example of what not to do.
Which gets me to sort of this question. So how do you then account for the Battleship movie, which was terrible and barely made any money, and all the money it made was overseas, versus something like The Emoji Movie, which by all accounts is also terrible, but number two at the box office this weekend?
That's sort of the secret with these movies, right, is that if you have sort of a large enough audience, sort of a large enough built-in contingency of people who are familiar with this thing and willing to spend the money on it, then it'll succeed. Also, I think with family movies, it's a little easier, right? You know, at point of purchase, you're selling two or three tickets instead of just one.
Right. And kids' movies aren't that subject to critics' reviews, right? Because I'm going to take my kid to see, you know, Despicable Me 3 no matter what the reviews are, right?
Yeah, because I want to be left alone for 2 hours.
Right, exactly. Right, exactly. Could you talk to me for a minute about the Fruit Ninja movie that you discuss in this piece? What is it that makes a piece of intellectual property, a mobile app game, what makes it suitable for even consideration as to turn into a movie?
Really one thing, and that's just a massive built-in audience.
Hmm.
You've got 2 billion people who know what Fruit Ninja is, and that's kind of enough.
Is there a limit to this, or are we, the viewing public, condemned to good movies every now and then and a whole bunch of Fruit Ninja movies?
Yeah, I think we are, as sad as it is. You know, it's not like the studios are independent entities anymore, right? They're all owned by massive multinational corporations that have shareholders, and they don't want to take risks. If you've got something where there's big brand recognition behind it and a large built-in audience, it's just easier to get to make that movie and know you're going to turn a profit than a one-off original story with, you know, actors and directors and writers, presumably, that nobody's ever heard of.
Alex French is a contributing editor at Esquire. He's got a piece in the New York Times Magazine this past weekend about the Emoji Movie and IP and intellectual property and what we're seeing on the screens. Alex, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.